90.5 WKAR. I'm Mark Bayshore. In the 19th century, women's exchanges formed a national network that created economic alternatives for financially vulnerable women in a world that permitted limited employment options. One of the nation's oldest continuously operating voluntary movements, many are still in business after more than a century. Women's exchanges were fashionable and popular shops where women who had fallen on hard times could sustain themselves by selling their handiwork on consignment without having to seek public employment. These exchanges took shape in the eastern U.S. and eventually spread from coast to coast. The Women's Exchange took root in Michigan and Detroit during the 1880s. Yesterday, WKAR's Peter Wharf phoned Northville writer Michelle Fecht, who recently told the story of the movement in her Michigan History magazine article, The Women's Exchange of Detroit.
It originally started to help genteel women who had fallen on reduced circumstances, so you could assume it was widows or some other, you know, circumstance that put them in a position where they had no means. And it was actually a very prominent Philadelphia woman by the name of Elizabeth Stott, who started a Philadelphia Ladies Depository as a marketplace to help these gentlewomen sell needlework, which was something back in the day that most women did. And realized that when they tried to sell it on the marketplace, often stores, merchants were men and were offering them pennies on the dollar. And she thought if these women had an opportunity to really sell their fine work for market value, they could sustain themselves. So that's how it started. And I think you certainly had a period as the movement took off, especially in the post-bellum period after the Civil War, where you had so many war widows and so many women who really were not going, there were so many deaths that the unmarried women, I think, was unprecedented after the Civil War. So what were these women to do? So the movement took off then, and then it became in the 1870s, the late 1870s, it became more of an effort to include all women of all social classes.
And it seems to me one of the important things, Michelle, is that this was a movement for women by women.
Absolutely. That's exactly what it was. You had very socially prominent women, and that certainly was the case almost at every exchange, certainly in Detroit as well, who felt that this was an opportunity to help the sisterhood, so to speak. And, certainly in Detroit, the early stories about it that were heralded in the newspapers, the Detroit Free Press and the Detroit News and the, now defunct Detroit Journal, talked about these very prominent women that formed this and were helping, their sisters, so to speak.
So the Women's Exchange began by helping women to sell some of their skilled work, such as needlepoint and maybe, other quilt making and those sorts of arts. But as you mentioned, catering comes in. What else is added to the lineup of the Women's Exchange? You see some lunchrooms begin to happen.
Absolutely. Right. I think it started out, like you mentioned, as, needlework, which I think is something that women did. But it moved on to other home arts, things like china painting and things like that, making lampshades, other sorts of home arts.
Take us to that scene in Detroit. It started at a florist and then moved on to its own building right downtown to what's now a present location right near the ballpark.
Yes, Charlie's Chili Bar, as a matter of fact, is now there.
Charlie's Chili.
It actually started out, it shared space with a small floral shop on Woodward Avenue. And from the time it started in 1889 until 1916, it moved probably about a half a dozen times to different locations. And then it was in 1916 that they built their own building. They took two structures that were on East Adams and combined them into one, and the very prominent firm of Smith, Hinchman & Girls designed this. It sort of is in the English style. It was actually based on a butcher's hall in England, so it has that is kind of a replica of that, which it still does have today. And they opened this amazing three-story facility that had a huge dining room, but also had a place for its wares, its needlework department, very departments within the building.
And right away they had a fire.
Within two weeks of opening on February 1st, 1916, they had a fire that completely gutted the second and third floors. But they were undaunted. They rebuilt, and I think they had their most successful years really in that period between, probably about 1916 until the late 1930s into the very early 1940s. It closed in 1942.
Have you visited any other places, or are you aware of any other women's exchanges that are still operating?
Yes. I think probably one of the most renowned that's still in existence and frankly thriving is the Women's Exchange of St. Louis. And it was established in 1883. It has a very prominent tea room that is still the place to go. And it has a very distinctive little dress for little girls called the cherry dress. I mean, the New York Times even wrote about this back in, I think it was about 2008 or 2009, a little white cotton frock dress that has little cherry on their enclosure snaps. I mean, even little John F. Kennedy Jr. was seen wearing a little kind of a bib overall short outfit when he was tiny with his mother that was from that exchange. And it's still very prominent today. So there's exchanges in places like Scarsdale, New York, and, I think there's about 20 throughout the country that are still thriving.
Michelle Fecht is the author of the recent Michigan History Magazine article, The Women's Exchange Comes to Detroit. Michelle, thanks a lot for this fascinating historic conversation about the Women's Exchange in Detroit and beyond.
Thanks so much, Peter.
For Current State, this is Peter Whorf.